All right, we've had a great missions conference so far and been having great chapel services, so we want to continue that today. Again, don't forget, I know many of you are planning on going out, but we're looking forward to going out with some of our missionaries and doing a Bible handout today with our teenagers and our college students, so looking forward to that. Make sure you're praying for our soul-winning time today. Let me see your Bibles again. Amen. How many of you brought them today? We're going to use them again today as Brother Davis comes. Brother Davis, where are you? Over there. Hey, brother, I got to see you in the back there as you set your table up. It's good to have Brother Davis with us. He's going to be preaching to us tonight as well. So you sit up, listen intently as he brings the devotion this morning. Thank you, my brother.
Mingala Manet Kimba. That's good morning. Huh? Yeah, it's okay. I'll translate for myself. Or you can ask Miss Beulah to translate for me. It's a pleasure to be here. My wife is with me. She's sitting in the background. I have five daughters, but they're not with us this week. They're with Grandma and Grandpa. We're missionaries in Myanmar, also known as Burma. Adoniram Judson went to that country. It's America's first mission field, and Adoniram Judson was the first missionary ever from America to go to another country. And he was from Boston, Massachusetts, and my family and I are from upstate New York, around Albany area. It's amazing. Many different missionaries went to Myanmar and went to actually the city where I live in. There was like four or five missionaries that lived there all about the same time as Adoniram Judson, and they were all from my area of the country, the Northeast, New England, and in New York, and that. And that's pretty neat. if you would turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're going to look in verse 11, 11 to 13. Here. The Bible says in verse 11, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for Landmark Baptist School, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity that we get to come to school and college and be able to learn the Bible and learn truths from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us something this morning that we can take with us to class, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Judges chapter 6 here. How many of you already know the story of Gideon? Probably most everybody, right? Raise your hand. All right. You can put your hands down. Gideon here, it's pretty interesting. Gideon here. He's here doing his chores. How many of you guys ever had chores? How many of you guys like chores? My favorite chore ever, you can put your hands down, my favorite chore ever when I was a kid was mowing the lawn. I loved mowing the lawn. I hated taking out the trash. All right, one of the reasons why I hated taking out the trash is I have a really bad gag reflex. All right, really bad. I can't even eat a banana. I know, it's horrible. And I live in a tropical country. It has lots of bananas. I don't mind the banana taste. It's just the consistency. I can't stand it. And so anytime also there's, you know, garbage a lot of times, the smell and stuff like that. And I'm taking it out. I'm like, you know, and and my parents would be like, just don't do it in the house, right? Make sure you're outside first. And all that. But I love mowing the lawn, and there's different chores that people would like in that. But you know what? Most of the time, though, our chores, we're like, I don't want to do my chores. And why is this missionary here telling me about doing chores? This is weird. But you know what? Gideon here was here doing his chores. And it says here in verse 11 at the end, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. So you have here the country of Midian had taken over the country of Israel, kind of like what you're seeing on the news, all right, or hearing from the news from your parents and that. And the Israelites had gotten away from God. They started worshiping idols and that. And I've got an idol over there on my table. We live in the most Buddhist country of the world, and if you come back, we have a video, and on the video that we've been showing around churches, on the up the hill from my house, there's a 15 foot tall Buddha statue. It's all gold. It's a huge gold statue. It reminds me. I think of Nebuchadnezzar every time I see that huge gold statue. And that, but you know what? They had gotten away from God, and so God, to punish them, had brought the Midianites to take over their country and oppress them. And now they're trying to get right with God, and that. And God comes to Gideon because he wants to use Gideon to deliver the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, from the Midianites. And you know what? It's interesting that he chose a guy. If you look in verse 12, it says here, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Can I take this mic? I move around a lot sometimes. But you know what? Where was Gideon? He was behind the wine press. All right? He's doing his chores. But he's so scared. He doesn't want the Midianites to find him. So he's doing, you know, he's doing it. He's threshing. Now, to thresh wheat, normally you would take a basket or something, and you take all the wheat, and there's a shell, kind of like with rice, too, same thing. There's a shell on the outside, and the grain that you eat is on the inside of the shell. So they would crack open the shell, and our pastor, we live, our church is on 4 acres of a rice field. And our pastor grew rice on the back half of that 1 year. And so when they harvested all the rice, they cut all the stalks down and brought them in. And then he took them and put them in the driveway of the church. And he just ran over them with the truck. And that's how they cracked all the shells. But then afterwards, they would take a basket and you throw it up in the air. And the shells are lighter. The grain is actually heavier, so the grain would fall. And then the wind would just blow it away. That's the chaff that the wind would blow away. And so that's what Gideon's doing. But he's doing it behind the wine press, and he's probably not throwing it very high because he doesn't want them to find out. I mean, he's scared to death. And the interesting thing is, the angel of the Lord came to him, and what did the angel of the Lord call him? Thou mighty man of valor. Dude, you're like, you think of mighty man of valor, you think of somebody who's brave, you know, he's already got the military uniform on. He's not scared of nothing. He looks like a bulldog, you know, I mean, bulldog all the time, but you know, I want you to notice here that in this story here that God sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. God doesn't see us where we're at right now. God sees us where he wants us to be. later on down the road. You know, I went to Christian school. I grew up in Connecticut, went to Christian school. My dad was the principal, so I had to go. I grew up in Christian school. I had homework. How many guys ever had homework? All right. I'm not going to ask who. All right. Put your hands down. You know, the high schoolers have homework. But you know what? I had in sixth grade, 11 years old. Where's the sixth grade class? Back there. All right. This is for you guys. All right. You know what? When I was in sixth grade, I had to write a 5,000-word paper about a famous American in history. I could pick anybody in the history book I wanted to pick. Now, my dad's a preacher. He was assistant pastor of the church and principal of the school. And so I liked history about preachers. I grew up in Connecticut. I mean, that's where Jonathan Edwards is from and David Brainerd. And he had a bunch of biographies, so I wanted to pick a preacher. I also wanted to pick somebody in the history book that the history book didn't talk a lot about. I mean, George Washington already has 6 pages. So I'm not going to learn about George Washington twice. All right? So I found on one page a little square at the bottom of the page. And half the square was the guy's picture. And I found, it said the person's name, the date of his birth and death, and just said Adoniram Judson, and it said the dates he was born and died. And then it said, missionary from America, went to Burma, translated the Bible into Burmese. And then he's called the father of American foreign missions. That's it. That's all it said. I said, I'm going to pick this guy. And so I started reading about him and learning about him, and God used that homework assignment. You know, we're talking about chores and homework, two things you don't want to talk about in school, right? No, but you know what? God used that homework assignment and got me thinking about missions, and that I started reading other missionary stories and biographies and all that. A year later, a missions conference at our church. Actually, it was the only missions conference. I think it was the only missions conference that church ever had. We had other missions days and had missionaries in. But it was the only time we actually had a week of missions conference. And while a missionary was preaching, the Lord got a hold of my heart. And the Lord called me to preach during that missions conference. But it started with my homework, you know. I was 11 years old doing the homework assignment. I was 12 years old, seventh grade, when God called me to preach, and I got up off the altar. I was praying. I got up off the altar. I told the pastor. I said, Pastor, I said God called me to preach. Wants me to be a missionary. He's like, oh, that's great. Okay. And so he told everybody. And actually, there was another married couple who had come and made the same decision, and he said, come by and shake Tim's hand and this other couple's hand, and shake their hands and tell them you're glad for him, happy for him, and so people are coming by. About half the people all said, "What's the first question that comes to your mind or anybody's mind when you hear of missionary? When you hear the word missionary, what's the first question that comes to your mind? It's where you're going." Where are you? What country, right? And so I just got up off the altar. People were like, so Tim, God called you to be a missionary. Where are you going? I was like, I'm going to school tomorrow. I don't know. I got a test on Friday. You know? It's kind of funny. We were just at a church, and the pastor of the church, his wife taught me when I was in second grade, and he just posted up. He had a big, he had one of these TV screens, and he put a photo up there from when I was in fourth grade playing the violin. And, I was just like this dorky kid with big elephant ears, you know, looked like a blow pop, really skinny, big head, and, still have a big head. But anyway, you know, playing the violin, and I was looking at that picture and I was like, you know what? Nobody there who was there when I was in fourth grade or who knew me at that time had ever thought that now I've been in Myanmar for 4 years. I actually went off to Bible college and found my first Burmese person in Bible college. And you know what? I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was doing my chores. I was doing my homework. I was doing everything I needed to do and following the Lord and trying to follow the Lord at the same time and obeying one day at a time. And nobody saw this 12-year-old kid, you know, oh yeah, God called him to be a missionary. But that 12-year-old kid, me, and the rest of the church had no clue exactly what that meant. But God did. And God didn't see me. He's like, Tim, I got to get you over here. You know, after I finished college, I went back home, worked on staff at that church. We saw Burmese people getting saved. We bring them to church, get baptized. Now this 12-year-old kid's grown up, and everybody in the church has known me since I was six. And they're like, Tim's a missionary. He's going to Burma. But you know what? Then he starts bringing these Burmese people. He hasn't even gotten there yet. He's bringing these Burmese people to church, and they're getting baptized and stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. This is really neat. Why? Because I just kept obeying and kept doing what I knew was right to do and following the Lord. And the Lord sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. I mean, where was David when God called him? He was out with the sheep. All right, he was out with the sheep. They all forgot him when the revival service came. When Samuel came to town. I mean, Moses, he was on the backside of the desert for 40 years. You know, all these guys, all the apostles, when Jesus came and called Peter and John, they were fishing, and they were mending their nets. Oh, that's try to fix all the holes, you know, in your nets, in that. But you know what? He says here, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, thou mighty man of valor. He's scared to death. But later on, he's going to turn him into a mighty man of valor. Look in verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I want you to notice here in the difference in verse 12 is he says, the angel tells him, the Lord is with thee. All right? Thee. All right? That is singular. That's the singular for you in the Bible. Okay? That's only one person. All right? For the for the younger grade, singular means one person. All right? And he says here, the Lord is with you, one person. But Gideon says, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with who? Us. Now, God said you, one person. But Gideon's saying us, the whole country. You know, God only needs one person. He don't need a big church. He's not looking for a huge group of people, a huge country. It doesn't matter if the whole country, you know, America's not the Christian nation it used to be. But that doesn't matter if God needs one person. He can do something with one person. And you know what? Later on, he's going to prove that to Gideon, because he's got 30,000 soldiers against 100,000. And God tells him, you got too many. Okay. All right. Whoever's afraid, you go back home. And everybody's like, yes. 20,000 guys leave. He's only got 10,000 out of 30. He's only got one third of, I'm using fractions now, one third of what he had. God says, hey, that's still too many. 300 out of 30,000. That's 3%. I just did that off the top of my head. 3%. 3% of what he started with, that's what God used. And Gideon's like, well, if the Lord be with us, no, the Lord's not with us, the whole nation of Israel. Because not the whole nation of Israel is right with God. And not the whole nation of Israel wants to follow God. But hey, I found a guy, Gideon. He found Gideon. I want you to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I just want to read one last verse here. 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. God's looking for somebody. God's looking for somebody. People say, Tim, why are you going to Burma? There's nobody there. There's no missionaries there. I was like, well, yeah. Number one, God called me. Number two, that's why. There's no missionaries there. If I wanted to be in the military and we're going off to war, I don't want to go where all the other, there's like 100 soldiers over here on this one side of the city and only a few soldiers on the other side of the city. Hey, I'm going to go where they need the most help, right? But God's looking for somebody. It doesn't matter what it is. People said, hey, Brother Tim, you can't go to Burma. You can't get a visa to get in. They're not going to give you the paperwork to stamp your thing to be able to let you in. It's a closed country. There's no country really closed to the gospel. God said, go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And last time I looked, Myanmar, Burma is still on the map. All right? And so God has, you know what? I'm just going to obey God and see what God does. Let's see who God's looking for. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. I'll read that again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God needed somebody to deliver the Israelites out of the Midianites' hands. And he went and found Gideon, who is like, he was scared. And, he found the little boy David. Why? Because those are the people who will allow God to show himself strong. They don't have their own strength. They don't have a big head. They don't have this, It was when Saul was little in his own eyes that God made Saul king. And so, my name's Brother Tim Davis. And my family and I are one of the first missionaries to go back to Burma since 1962 when it became a military dictatorship. Yes. I live in a military dictatorship country, kind of like North Korea. You know what? Well, what church are you from? Grace Baptist Church in Troy, New York. Most of you have never heard of that church before. You know what? What mission board are you with? Well, we have a mission agency called Golden Land Baptist Missions, and that's a ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Horseheads, New York. And most people don't even know where Horseheads is. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm a preacher's kid. If I told you my dad's name, none of you know who he was. It doesn't matter if you're not a famous preacher's kid or you're not from some big church or you're not going, it doesn't matter. God doesn't need all those things. God just needs somebody who's willing to follow him and going to do whatever it takes in following him. One of my friends said, Tim, there's a house for sale over there. We should buy that house. The two of us can go in on it. And then we could rent it out and make some money. I said, I'm not buying a house. Why aren't you buying a house? I'm going to Burma. What am I going to do with a house in Burma? Now, in Burma, also, there's no Second Amendment. I love the Second Amendment. I love to go hunting if I ever had the chance. I went out with my father-in-law and brothers-in-law a couple times. I don't own any guns. You want to know why? I can't take them to Burma with me. Otherwise, I'm going to go to jail real quick. All right? I can't take them to Burma with me. But you know what? I don't need those. I got the Bible. I got the Lord. You know what? And the Lord's been doing some really neat things over in Myanmar that we'll share a lot more tonight, if you're able to come back to church tonight, but or as the day goes on. But you know what? We've been able to see the Lord do some amazing things. People said you couldn't get to Burma. We walked in. We had our visas, or we had our visa before we even arrived. And then they put us through. They brought us off the airplane like we were royalty for some reason. And the military. There was a military coup, and there's a civil war, and all that. But the Lord has sheltered our family and our church. And we've seen people saved, and we were able to learn the language and all that. But where did it start? It started with a kid in sixth grade doing his homework, who is just, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And going to work hard at whatever that is. Just like Gideon. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. God sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. And God don't need this huge group of, well, nobody in my class wants to do that. None of my friends want to serve God. Well, who cares? Who cares? God doesn't need to use your whole group of whatever group you're thinking in your head. He just wants to use one person. And he's looking. His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. That includes this auditorium. God's eyes are looking to and fro through this auditorium, through the school and the college students, and maybe even the teachers and faculty, to see, to be able to show himself strong. Not us strong, but himself strong. All right? So let's try to be like Gideon and just make sure we're available and obey to the best of our ability and see where God takes us with that. Thank you, preacher.